Thank you, Naomi, and thank you, Jordan, for leading us this morning in our worship and the way that you've convened this morning, Jordan. Thank you so much for that. It is my privilege again just to spend a few moments looking into Scripture and continuing on the subject of Church Reunited. And you will be fully aware that we have been looking at the story of Nehemiah and Ezra, but primarily focusing on Nehemiah. You know, that great guy who was a cupbearer and became a city builder. And this morning, I'd like to just continue on that thought. This is a little bit of a two-part kind of preach. I will conclude it next week. And as we get into the word, you'll understand why. But what we see is that Nehemiah is serving the king in the palace. He's tasting the wine. He's serving the wine and so on. And news of his home city comes into his hearing, and he begins to have a sense of, hang on a minute, I have to do something about this, because his home city was in ruin, and we also then begin to see that it was also living in a sense of disgrace. And Nehemiah came to this conclusion, this understanding that there is no place like home. How many of you can align themselves to that? There is no place like home. And I just want to commend you this morning, because there's no place like your home which you're sat in, but there's no place like this home which I'm stood in today. It's home, it really is. And I'm looking forward to the day when we are gathered back in some shape and some form. But what I see in the life of Nehemiah was this, that he hears the news, he has a sense of affinity to it, and he has a sense of empathy connected to it. And birthed inside of him is a burden. There's a load, there's a weightiness, there's a heaviness that comes and begins to fill his heart. And something is stirred, and he senses that he has to do something about it. You see, the burden that he began to carry became a responsibility for him to achieve and for him to accept the assignment and the task that God had for him. I believe that Nehemiah went through a number of phases, and I'm going to spell out those phases to us today, because I also believe that as we begin to wrestle with the burden that God gives us for our home, for the place where we live, for the place we reside in, the community, and I'm talking to those that are connected to this church, but also to those that are maybe connected to another church, to another area, but you've chosen to tune in here. So Nehemiah begins to carry this burden, and it's almost as if God begins to set what I called spiritual satellite navigational coordination points in his life. You see, the burden became a vision. And then the vision, the second phase, began to evoke some emotion and stir up some passion. The third phase was that the vision became his motivation, and then we see that the vision set the direction of his life. And then also vision helped him simplify his decision-making process. It really did. And then in conclusion to the process, we see that vision gave him a purpose and gave him something to get up for in the morning. And we're going to just focus on a few of those phases. But I also read in the book of Nehemiah that Nehemiah quickly realized that he couldn't undertake this task on his own. And the burden was too heavy, too great for him to carry. And he required the king's favor. He also required to recruit others who would come alongside him and help and take their responsibility in the assisting and the fulfilling of the task. So this morning, I want to look down the camera lens, and I want to begin to speak into your heart and into your life today, because the very first thing that we need to do is we need to pray for the favor of the king, okay? I want you to begin to pray for the favor of the king. When I talk about the favor of the king, I'm talking about his approval, his acceptance, and special benefits. Nehemiah prayed for that, and he received the favor of the king. And out of that favor came a number of requests. He said this, "King, will you send me to the city?" Then he said, "I want you to send me to the city because I can then rebuild the city. Let's just look at that first little point this morning. Send me to the city. Where has God sent you and sent me to? He sent me, us, to Tor Bay and surrounding areas. That's our city. That's the location of where God's called us to. And there are multiple needs in this place and multiple needs in the city or the town of where God has called you to. And we need to understand and grasp the significance of what it means to be sent to a city or sent to a place. That comes from a military term. The military term is apostolio. And that simply means this: to be sent, to be commissioned, and to be given authority. So when Nehemiah was said, "Will you send me to the city?" he was saying, "Will you send me with your favor? Will you send me with your authority?" He wasn't acting in his own strength, his own might, but he was acting in the authority of the one who sent him. And then the second thing he said, "I want you to send me there because I want to rebuild something. I want to rebuild it." And we're going to focus on that next week, that little section next week, okay? So be excited about that. So let's just look at send me to the city. That's a great, significant request on behalf of Nehemiah. Because when we begin to think about being sent, we have to align ourselves to the words that Jesus spoke. He said this: "As the Father has sent me into the world, I have sent you into the world." He was sending his disciples on an assignment, commissioned and granted authority to go and accomplish some great things. Guys, listen to this. You have been sent into your world, into your community. And I think of the words of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, when the Lord began to scan planet Earth and said, "Whom can we send?" Let's put that into a little bit more contemporary language. Instead of using the word "whom," let's just simply, "Who can I send?" And Isaiah, he says, "Here I am, send me." Once again, Isaiah knew the authority behind the word "sent" or "to send." And I still sense and believe that God is looking for men, women, boys and girls who are willing to be sent. And just as those words echoed in Isaiah's time, "Who can I send?" or "Who can we send?" those same words are echoed over our time. And it still requires a response. Maybe you and I just need to stand firm for a few moments and simply say this: "Here I am," or "Here we are, send us." You see, Nehemiah didn't go in his own strength, his own might, or his own power, but he needed the approval and the acceptance of the king, and he needed to experience the special benefits of the king. I was fascinated as I began to read once again the story of Nehemiah. And what I see in the context of this wonderful story is Nehemiah asked the king for two letters. We're going to focus on letter two next week, but we're going to focus on letter one right now. Letter one was a letter written by the king to the governor of the Trans-Euphrates. That simply means beyond the river. And he was asking for safe conduct. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 7, asking for safe conduct. And letter two was to Ashpha, the keeper of the royal park, to give him timber. So the first letter was for safe conduct, safe passage. The second letter was for provision of resource. I've entitled this "Open Door, Open Wallet." We're going to look at the second letter next week. But letter one today is this. He asked for safe conduct. He requested safe passage, and only the king could issue him this letter. As I began to research this first letter, I realized that actually the king had granted him the freedom of movement. And this gave the individual the right to travel from place to place, crossing border lines, crossing boundary lines without restriction and without limitation. Theologian said this. He said it was the first passport ever given or ever given to an individual. The first passport given to an individual. The word passport simply comes from a word which would indicate the ability to pass through city gates or ports or doors, entry points, without restriction and limitation. So Nehemiah was granted the freedom of movement. A few years ago, I was invited to attend a conference, and as I walked into the conference setting, I was given a lanyard with a little thing on the bottom which says AAA. And that AAA simply meant this: access all areas. It gave me an open door in that venue and in that city, in that setting. Nobody stopped me from entering any point because I had an access all areas. I began to think about how that applies to us today. What's the significance of the freedom of movement, the first letter that Nehemiah requested from the king? This is the significance of this, and I want this to be prophetic for us today. I believe that God has presented us with a letter that will open doors of opportunity for us. As I begin to scan the journey of the last few weeks, few months, even the last few years, I've begun to recognize this, that God has presented to this church and to other churches that we're connected with and to our fellowship and our denomination that we belong to, and to members of this local church family, I have seen God present open door moments and opportunities to many of us. And I believe that that is going to increase over the course of the days to come. I also believe that it's not just something which is current or historic, but I also believe that God is going to present to this house more doors of opportunities over the course of the days, the weeks, the months, and the years to come. Why? Because he has granted us his favor, and he has deposited into our person, into our being, a letter of the freedom of movement into this community and into this time and into this day and age. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8 talks about a local church. It's the church at Philadelphia. And it's one of the seven churches. In fact, it's the sixth church that the writer writes to. And what we see in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8 is simply this. The writer says, I have set before you, that's the local church, I've set before you an open door that no man can shut. Paul wrote to a church in Ephesus, or was responding to a request for him to journey to another place to preach the gospel. And what we see, Paul's response is this: I have to stay here because there's a great door of opportunity, or a great door of effective work that has been opened to me. So putting that into the context of Riviera Life Church, in the month of August in the year 2020, as we are beginning to journey towards the regathering of a reunited church here in the restraints and the building of this wall, of this house, I believe that God has presented to us an open door that no man can shut. An open door where the work will be effective and productive and fruitful. But you see, for us to accomplish that, for us to work through that and to see it outworked in our life, we need to allow the burden of what we see and what we hear within our community to birth a vision. And then the vision will evoke emotion and passion. And then the vision will become our motivation to do. And the vision will set the direction of our life and our program and our plan. And in fact, the vision will help simplify our decision making, because our decisions are decided and made around the vision that God has given to us. And vision will give you and I purpose to get up in the morning. Does that excite you, church? It excites me and it blesses me. So this freedom of movement, this first letter, the letter that has sent us into mission, we need to revisit the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to verse 20 is outlined and known as the Great Commission. Therefore, go into the world. And when you go into the world, make disciples of all nations and baptize them. I love it when Paul wrote to the church and he says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And I want to encourage us as I conclude this morning, and I trust you've enjoyed being part of church this morning, that the Great Commission is our validation papers. That the Great Commission is the letter that we've been wanting to receive from the King and his favor that grants us the freedom of movement. It's a letter that permits us to have safe conduct and safe passage. It's God's kingdom passport. And this morning, we need to begin to rise up and become the Nehemiah for this generation and for this day and age. Why? Because our city, our geographical location requires us to become active and to become men and women who are determined to rebuild a community. I trust this morning those brief words, part one of a little 2-week series, has helped you, encouraged you. And this morning, before I hand back to Jordan, who will conclude our morning service, I want to pray with you and for you. And I'd ask you simply to bow your heads for a few moments and allow the Spirit of God just to minister to you and to continue to enlarge your heart and to stretch you this morning. Will you pray with me? Father, it's so good to be together. This morning, as we simply pause for a few moments, we ask you for the person of your Holy Spirit that you will continue to speak to us. I pray, God, that we'll begin to see through the eyes as Nehemiah saw through his eyes and saw what needed to be done. I pray that we would hear through the ears like Nehemiah heard. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would burden our heart to see something transformational take place within this community and our nation, I pray. I pray that in your wonderful name. Amen. It's been great to be with you this morning, church. Have yourself a great week.